And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary Gilbert. Here's my noisy co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
How you doing, everybody? I just want to play a fan. What's up wrong with that? It's the summertime. It's the summertime in the South. I got to have
Dan,
a fan.
I want to hit you with this. Surprise thing of the week. A fan, a Nashville fan in Pittsburgh at game one of the Stanley Cup, threw a catfish onto the hockey rink. And this is something I guess Nashville's been doing all year. He's looking at 6 years in jail now.
What? Yeah.
Now, I think that's the maximum you can get. So, like, we just ran with that as the headline. But in what world we have it where you throw a catfish into a hockey rink, the maximum penalty is 6 years? Like, who let that happen, you know?
Like, what is even the charge? Like, abusing
a
catfish?
No, I don't care. I think it was already dead. It must have been, like, bioweaponry. I guess you could say it's terrorism. Because I guess you can get a disease from a dead catfish. I don't know. That's bioterrorism, I would guess.
How? There's only one thing you can catch from a catfish, and that's delicious.
Our ringworm. But I mentioned that. I mentioned hockey, because we're talking about a bit of a hockey movie today here on the cast. And that's Michael Myers, The Love Guru.
the finest movie ever made.
I haven't been this mad watching a movie since I watched Batman vs. Superman. What was that, like a year ago? That's the only time I've ever left a movie in the theater angry. I think, Dan, you got multiple messages from me that were along the lines of, I hate you, I'll never forgive you for this, fuck you, all sorts of things.
You threatened to hunt me down. There was an accusation, there was like a threat of a stabbing. Like, look, I just know that it's fun to give a great movie a recommendation to somebody. You know, you just love passing along love of cinema. And that's what this is. It's a
cinema.
It's cinema. It's a film. Some movies, some cinema is movies. And movies, that's lower. This was a film.
It was something. So let's jump into it, Dan. Let's jump into The Love Guru. The movie starts off with a bad Morgan Freeman voice gag. You want to explain this one? Do you remember this?
Well, sure. Like, you know, Morgan Freeman was, I think he'd just done...
Bruce Almighty, maybe.
Was the movie about the penguins? I think he'd just done the penguins thing.
Yeah. But he...
At that, like,
he'd been well
the
established. This movie has made no way. By this point, Morgan Freeman has been established as movie guy. I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's the voiceover man. But we find out, hilariously, it's a Morgan Freeman machine that turns him into a Morgan
And we are
Morgan
introduced
Freeman.
To our main character, who I never even got what his name was. I just called him Michael.
That would be Maurice Pitka. Come on, man. It's almost like you haven't gone to the official Wikia for the Love Guru at loveguru.wikia.com/wiki/ Maurice Pitka.
So, yeah, I guess we get this intro. Michael Myers is the... got a story to tell or some bullshit. I forgot. But then we cut to, I believe, Stephen Colbert and Jim Gaffigan playing hockey announcers. This was the first we saw kind of a weirdly star-studded late odds kind of cast.
Basically, the entire cast of The Daily Show is in this movie. I mean, minus Jon Stewart. But, like, Colbert... okay, he doesn't even count. Like, Colbert, Oliver... Samantha Bee's in this movie, probably screaming something racist about
John
black
Oliver
people in
the
corner
Jew,
somewhere.
I believe that was his character.
I'm sure.
Clearly was meant to be played by a Jewish
person. Sure.
Like, that clearly was supposed to be like a stereotypical Jew, and they're just like, well, we can't make fun of everybody. But yeah, so yeah, we cut to those announcers. So Colbert plays an announcer who's just come out of rehab. So right out the gate, we're making really bad addiction jokes. I don't mean to go all PC and woke here. This movie turned me into it. I started getting offended about things I'd never get offended about.
Well, like, when the movie leads off with a white dude in India doing, like, a really horrifyingly bad
like a
Indian
bad
voice.
Impression.
Like, I am a guru from India. Like, that's, like, it lets you know, like, right off the bat that you're going to get an hour and a half of a frat boy doing an Indian impersonation.
But to be
like
fair, he was a white guy who lived in India. So he could have developed that accent. It wasn't 100% super racist.
I mean, he was 12.
I'm just saying. Formative year.
Like, you don't develop
well, it's
an
like when you have
the
friend
12.
Go to England for 6 days. And they come back.
Yeah, and they put on that fake voice, and they come back, and they go, ew, I've been to England. I think I'm going to take a lorry. Does anyone want to split a lorry with me?
So after this, we're introduced though to our, I guess, our star of the movie, and I never got his name either. I just knew he was the black hockey player or the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yeah,
Romanov.
We find him. Sure. We find out he top biggest star in hockey. I think they call him the Tiger Woods of hockey. It's transcended the sport. Yeah,
he is a black guy. Like they do. That is like, hey, there's a black guy playing hockey, so he has to be the Tiger Woods of hockey.
We find out that he had divorced his wife. Did he divorce his wife, or his wife left him? I think they said he divorced her.
Why is he so upset?
He left her.
Well, I mean, that's part of the story. That's part of the story of the movie. He was upset that he disappointed her, so he left his wife before she could leave him.
And we find out though his wife was dating.
It's almost like you didn't watch this beautiful movie I showed. I watched it.
Trust me, I have the scars to prove it. We find out his wife is dating Jacques Lecoq, who is Justin Timberlake.
Grand. No. It's Jacques Grand. And his nickname is Lecoq. So it's Jacques the Cock.
I had Jacques Lecoq.
Every name in this movie, except, I mean, I guess the lead character is the only one. His name is Maurice Pitka. Maybe that's a pun. Mm. I don't know. Every other name in this movie is a fucking really bad joke. Such as Ben Kingsley's character, who is the mentor of the Guru Pitka, and his name is Guru Tugging My Puta.
God damn it.
God damn it.
So yeah, we learn 40-year-old virgin guy is his wife left him for Justin Timberlake, basically.
He left his wife and his wife went to Justin Timberlake.
And he's also the goalie for the Kings, who the Maple Leafs happen to be playing in the Stanley Cup. Because all this happens at game one of the Stanley Cup, right? So, like,
this movie all happens within the space of, like,
But I don't understand. If their best player is slumping, how do they still make the fucking Stanley Cup? And why the fuck do they matter? If they made the Cup without their player playing so bad, why do they have to bring in a love guru to fix it?
Well, see, here's the thing about this movie, and this is the first example of many, where, like, the plot is so threadbare and so, like, perfunctory. Like, this movie is basically, like, an hour and a half long episode of Family Guy, where the plot is not important. It's just a thing that you have to get through in order to have something to jump off to do like really terrible
Family Guy, or like what some people refer to as like zombie Simpsons. I think Simpsons post season 13 is kind of like this. Like, dumb story, need to get Homer to make some jokes to meet a celebrity. That's what this kind of reminded me of. Like a Simpsons episode you'd see now. Just kind of full of bad pop culture jokes and like here are some cameos.
And I would say, like, I'm not a big Family Guy fan. It's not as good as Family Guy. Like, the jokes in this movie are like, I have seen episodes of Family Guy, and I've seen clips from Family Guy where I went, okay. Like, this movie, it's, like, there's not, like, sometimes, like, you know, the famous, like, Family Guy, like, Peter fights a chicken for, like, an hour and a half. Like, where it's just something so bizarre happens in the middle of an episode that you're just like, well, that's something. In the course of this movie, that happens. It's always, like, an aside to something.
It also helps in an episode of, like, Family Guy or whatever. It's usually, like, 20 minutes long. This fucker was, what, an hour 30 or something ridiculous?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it was that long a movie. Like, it just felt like it was only 87 minutes long. It's only an hour and 27 minutes. Like, it's, like, It took me the better part of a day and a half to watch this movie because I had to keep stopping because like oh god I'm pretty oh that's bad and then
I power washed my way through this thing today. I originally paid for it on the PlayStation Network and then my internet went out and I was sick on Tuesday and only had 48 hours to watch the video. So I watched the first 5 minutes and said, I'll watch it later. That expired. What am I gonna do? Found out it was on Amazon Prime for free. So if you want to check out The Love Guru Amazon Prime Insta Video right there for you. And it's rated 4 stars on Amazon.
That's a good reason to, like, drop your Prime subscription. Like, why are my subscriber fees going to this?
It's,
I always forget that I have Amazon Prime
because I think I pay the full year's fee in January every year when I have a lot of money in my account, so like I'm just not thinking, and then like next thing I know I have Amazon Prime for a year. It's been like this now for like the better part of my life for some reason. Let's jump back into
sure. I mean, Amazon Prime has showed everyone what they really should do, especially the WWE Network. Like, just convince people to give you like $150 or whatever, like at WrestleMania season, and then they'll just forget they did it. And by the time the next WrestleMania comes up, they'll be like, "Oh, maybe I'll get WrestleMania. Oh, I already paid for it."
I will say, like, it is kind of convenient if you're ordering something. It's like, "Oh, I get free shipping. Where did this come from?" But let's jump back to the Love Guru. Next, we meet the head coach of the Leafs, played by one Mr. Vern Troyer, trying to recapture some of that magic with Michael Myers from Austin Powers. That magic he did not recapture. Tell us a little bit more about Vern Troyer's character.
Yeah, he is always wearing a fedora, so he's either a coach from the 50s, or he's a racist douchebag who posts on message board.
So then we meet the owner of the Leafs, Jessica Alba. She wants to bring in the Love Guru. I don't know why. I think the Yankees used him or something, right?
Well, like, as we find out, he's kind of
and a crush, yeah. Because all women, they just want to fuck every man. And then we get the opening credits scene.
Especially Mike Myers. Like, especially when it's, like, Jessica Alba. The person that she's really lusting after is a fucking dude who's 20 years older than her, is from Canada, and has a fucking bad wig.
I think he can
fuck. Terrible facial hair.
Well, I don't know, because he's a virgin.
No, he can't, as we learned. He's been, I mean, part of the Love Guru's tale is that he has to learn to love himself before he can love others. And, Ben Kingsley puts a chastity belt
on. We'll get to that in a second.
I'm going to quote right now. I need to quote something out of the wiki. Let's see here. To get rid of an erection, he must whack his groin/crotch with a mallet. So that's how he gets rid of his erections. When he gets aroused, the head of his penis hits the chastity belt. It makes a ding sound. Again, quoted directly.
Jump into the opening credit. Then we get this opening credit scene, and this is a bad, like, Indian cover, or like a Bollywood-style cover of 9 to 5, and it just made me angry. A lot of stuff in this movie.
It goes on for 2 minutes. Like, this is not short.
This is the whole...
This is not like, oh, okay. Like, no, they did the whole song with a sitar.
And it was really bad. Next thing on my notes, then we see John Oliver. He informs the guru that he's the number one guru in Love Guruing. And we never see who's the number one. Was that a real person?
Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra.
I don't know.
Yeah, Deepak
not
Chopra.
Not into the guru world.
I mean, Deepak Chopra is a self-improvement dipshit. Who goes on Oprah a lot. Oprah made him famous. And his entire, it's basically like prosperity gospel stuff, but like with Eastern bullshit. But it's like the Eastern bullshit version of like, oh, the real problem with you is that you don't love yourself enough. Like that horse crap that like people in the West love telling themselves.
And then we get like
that they'd just be happier if they were more of a self.
And then we start getting like some dumb pop culture references in here. Is this when he had the TED Talk thing, or is that after? I can't remember. Yeah,
sure.
Some sort of bad TED Talk thing. I have also in my notes, I hate you, Dan. Val Kilmer makes a cameo. I felt really bad for Val Kilmer. And then who else?
I'll never forgive him for ruining.
There was the lady from SVU.
Jessica Simpson. Right. Well, okay. Like the thing you also got to know about the guru is that his chant is Mariska Hargitay, which isn't that funny? How her name kind of sounds like something a fucking Hindu guy would say, maybe. Like her name's Mariska Hargitay. That kind of sounds like foreign words. And then a block the actual Mariska Hargitay of Law and Order SVU fame. and whose mother died by being decapitated in a car accident.
So we get the SVU joke. Jessica Alba, that he meets the girl, he falls in love, and we get the first of these like weird third eye things. Did you notice this, Dan? I think they did this joke twice, never touched it again.
Well, yeah, like, in this fucking stupid movie about an ass who wants to be a famous, bullshit peddler, we learned that, like, fucking magic is real. And
yeah, because everyone from the East is real. Like, this is how this movie's, like, low-key. Maybe not even low-key, just kind of racist, but, like, it has, like, the magical, I think, what's it called on TV tropes? Like, the magical Negro or East thing, you know? Where, like, anyone who's...
Yes,
yeah, the magical Negro. Anyone who's Negros. Not from around here, doesn't look like yet, he's got magic. You know,
yes. In this situation, it would probably be called Orientalism. Where it's just like, oh, people from the Orient, they're magical. They have like, basically this movie could have taken place inside a Tintin cartoon, which basically makes it the most racist thing in the history of the world.
So then we have like a bad. I think it's a ripoff from Austin Powers, actually, between Vern Troyer and Michael Myers here. Like, where he kept asking him if he wants shrimp, and calls him small, and just a lot of different ways. I think this is a joke we've seen in, like, a million things. This is, like, a lazy midget joke.
Well, it's also, like, I can't remember somebody once made fun of Mike Myers in that there's never been a guy who made movies who used, like public domain comedy more than Mike Myers. Like, the stuff that you do as a kid where it's like, ooh, I'm touching you, oh, I know you are, but what am I? Like, Mike Myers then puts that shit in his
face. And then we find out, though, everyone hates Jessica Alba.
The stuff you do when you're, like, 12.
Then we find out everyone hates Jessica Alba's character because her family bought the Leafs and they haven't won a cup since. When this was, to me, pro-ownership propaganda from the NHL right here. So you should feel bad for the owners. They want to win just as much type of horseshit.
Yeah, that's the other thing about this movie, is that it's all about the Maple Leafs, which is like a low-key thing in the NHL. Like, for years, the Maple Leafs probably have the largest and biggest fan base in the NHL, but they haven't been any good in, like, they're kind of the New York Knicks.
Or, like, if the Yankees didn't have
a run in the 90s.
Or if the Yankees didn't have their run in the 90s. Or the odds.
Well, the Yankees had the run in the 70s with Steinbrenner. Like, the Maple Leafs are, like, I think the Knicks is the best comparison because... They're always saying that they can't rebuild. So they're always like wasting a ton of money on like free agents at the exact point that they're worthless and not good anymore. And they just are always carrying this huge payroll that seems to not do anything for them. And there's no real incentive for them to change because they always sell out. Like they have the best attendance in the entire sport. So there's just this constant like, well, there's nothing will ever matter. And this is a thing, you know, I don't know. Do you know Steve Kahn?
No. Yes.
Steve Kahn. Look him up. He used to write for Wrestling Observer. He's a good guy. I've known him since we were kids. Anyway, he's from Toronto. And there's this thing, his whole family and everybody were Maple Leafs fans. And when he grew up, he was like, man, this team's never going to be any good. And they're always, like, making everyone around me miserable. Fuck it. I'm just going to cheer for the Penguins. Like, to hell with it. That's a thing that people in Toronto do. And there's like been this huge push for years for Toronto to get a second team, you know, sort of like the Nets or the Jets or the Clippers, to just like so that people in Toronto don't have to cheer for this team that's always punting you in the ball. So to then take for that being the sports context, the real life sports context of this movie. And then make it where the Maple Leafs, like, idiot ownership that's always shitting up are, like, actually...
And hot shit.
...deep down.
Yeah.
It's kind of, on a sports fan standpoint, like, kind of fucked up and offensive. If I was a genuine blue Maple Leafs fan and I saw this movie, it's like, fuck you trying to talk me into liking the Maple Leafs ownership.
But let's jump on now. The guru and 4-year-old version guy, they meet... And he shows him that he does need his woman back to be good at hockey. He lies to him. That's the first thing these characters do. They lie to each other. Off to a great start, yeah.
Sure.
And then we cut to, I guess, the love guru is breaking into Lecoq's house. And, of course, he's got roosters everywhere. And this leads to a hilarious fight with a rooster that Michael Myers then kills.
Sure. because, you know, yeah, gurus kill things. Like, I mean, many of the jokes of this movie are like, ha-ha, isn't it funny that he's, like, a peaceful, like, guru of things, and yet he, like, he punches a whole lot.
Yeah, and then we get, like, a kung fu fight, which, like, a Justin Timberlake doing, like, a bad Bruce Lee impression. This is, like, probably the second little bit of just bad Justin Timberlake comedy we get. And I think we need to roast Timberlake here, too. He was pretty awful in this movie. He was not, like, a shining,
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, because Justin Timberlake is... Hey, you know who's funny? Justin Timberlake. He's, you know, he's...
There's nothing really funnier.
Funny. Have you seen him on SNL?
There's no one funnier than, like, attractive people. Like, the worst comedians are, like, attractive. People forget this.
I think you're wrong. I think it's very, very funny when very attractive people put on, like, a fake mustache.
And...
Or maybe, like, they put on, like, a really bad haircut.
Like, would like, it be hilarious if I had, like, a really big top, really guys?
Really funny!
Yeah. So we get the dumb kung fu fight. Then there's, like, a bad homophobia joke, because, like...
There's a bar fight involving Rob Hubel and, what's the guy on... He's got a Comedy Central, Tosh.0. Daniel Tosh and Rob Hubel get into a bar fight. So already you're like the
but we're not quite there yet, Dan.
The guy, I cannot think of two softer men.
We're not quite there.
Than Rob Hubel.
We then get a flashback to the stink mop scene, as I will call it. It's like a bad Star Trek parody where Ben Kingsley pisses into a pot, and then two of his students fight with mops that are soaked in urine. Hilarious. Michael Myers gets hit.
And can we say, like, urine doesn't really smell?
I don't
want to
get, you know, so, what, I don't want to get hit in the face with a mop of piss, and I don't want to laugh at someone who gets hit in the face with a mop full of piss. That's just not funny to me.
Yeah, there's
like
worse
I'd like
things.
To do that to one of my enemies.
There's worse things to get,
you know,
hit
but
with.
So we get this, and then we get, then the guru goes, game one, Stanley Cup. There's the fucking love guru at the bench and on a fucking sofa behind the bench. How the what?
Yeah, sure. Like that. Look. I mean, every time when I'm watching this, when I'm watching Stanley's Cup,
I did like that joke.
Always make sure I look over. Sure, I always make sure that I look over and see like the spiritual advisor for each team sitting beside, sitting
like,
behind.
What is this hippy dippy bullshit? Like that's just not going to play in Toronto, you know? Which we learn later in the movie that
I mean, there's
to get the respect of the Maple Leafs fans is to be just as crude and crass as Canadians. That's what I learned from this movie. We'll get back to that near the end, though.
Yeah, yeah. As we all know, Canadians are super, super vulgar and crude.
And then,
you know that stereotype of Canadians that we all know that they like super love to curse. Like we all know that about Canadians, like how they just love to say.
And then we hit 40-year-old virgin guy, he fights Lecoq because the love guru tells him he can fight anybody, and then beats him up. And I thought, well, that's the movie. He won game one, we beat up the bad guy, okay, we're over. Apparently not. They suspend the guy for, was it three or four games or something ridiculous? Two games.
Two games. Because that's the thing that referees do on the ice. They just go, hey, you punched
well, it was one game, and then like Vern Troyer got hit in the nuts or something, and it went to two?
Yeah, like Romany Malco, like winds up and hits a slap shot at Vern Troyer for sassing him, and then they gave him a second suspension for hitting
then,
his own coach somehow.
And
like,
then
that's
we
thing.
Get over with that scene. We cut to Vern Troyer's office, and it's a miniature office. Get it? Because he's a little person.
Yeah, because he's a little guy. So like his whole room is like the office from Being John Malkovich, where you're just like you're inside John Malkovich's head, and the ceiling's too low because that's
and
what
then,
little people do. They have, like, the living
and this was about the point of the movie, Dan, where I was fucking ready for this to be over. I checked. I was only 30 minutes in. And then, for some reason, the love guru wants 40-year-old virgin man to meet, he's gonna reconcile with his mom or something. He's a preacher? Or a singer? Or something?
She's a choir director, sir.
And she puts a lot of pressure on her son.
Act like you've been in a church before.
She puts a lot of pressure on her son, and that's why he's... He won't let her come watch him because he's too scared to play it in front of his mom because he's a cuck. And I think that's the heart of the movie.
Really, this movie should be renamed The Gorilla Mindset.
You know what, Dan? I
The mindset expert.
I watch bad movies sometimes, Dan. I was talking about this too earlier, where I like to watch a bad movie and think, how would I fix it? How could I doctor it? That's how I do it, Dan. You make it the gorilla mindset. And you have a right-wing man fix a cop. I think that's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's probably Tim Allen's
we could project. You know what? Write that down. We'll sell that to Tim Allen. That's money right there. Money in the bank.
Yeah.
Although, if I know anything about quote-unquote mindset experts, it's probably just going to involve, all right, just like stare at women's feet all day. Like, just look like, okay. It's going to involve going to wingyfeet.com.
I want you to jack off to every shoe at Payless.
The good shoes, either. Just like some clogs. Like,
orthopedic shoes. Jacking off into them. And don't bother, you know, you jack off into baby shoes, too. Since it's just a construct. So,
okay, that's when Milo, that's Milo's, like, script doctoring.
Alright, I'd like to make
the Milo's right, gonna get a pass at this.
Gotta write that one down.
Then, like, they go to a bar, and this is when we see Tosh.0 and, Rob Marine Guy from The Daily Show. Yeah.
Rob Hubel.
And, my notes say, this love guru, he fights, too. And he gets into they get into a fight.
It's a ballroom blitz.
I did.
I did actually
like one joke here, and it's when the guy who's wearing the dog t-shirt, the little dog print, looks like an Old Navy shirt, gets mad.
Yeah, he gets up, and he looks like a divorced dad, and then he punches a biker, and it's like,
get it?
Yeah. He ruined his shirt. Yeah.
So,
and we get a great joke at the end of the bar fight where Mike Myers pulls a pull cue out of his own rectum. And it's like, I got something stuck in my butt.
Then we get a horrible green screen scene in front of Niagara Falls. They clearly were not at Niagara Falls. This was some of the worst green screen.
Shooting at Niagara Falls, very expensive, as anyone who's watched the documentaries about the making of Superman can well attest.
But this is what I looked at when this movie was made, because the green screen effects were so bad. I thought this was like 98, but it was 2008.
We didn't even talk about early in the movie when Mike Myers was supposed to be a kid.
How did they do that?
And they took Mike Myers now and like computer put that on top of a kid's body. And his head is like three sizes too big.
Was this some of that technology?
And it's genuinely upset. Was it
Michael Myers behind like Kung Fu Enter the Fist or whatever, that shitty Kung Fu mashup? Kung Pao.
Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
I think he was behind. The same technology was used in these films.
Sure. A movie that's intentionally bad. Well, I mean, you know, all bad movies are, after the fact, intentionally bad. To parody martial arts movies. Yes, this movie borrows heavily.
And then we go to the dinner scene. And I want you to break down the dinner scene, Dan. Because I think this is when I sent you a message. I said, fuck you, I hate you. I blame you for everything. Because this dinner scene was filled with penis and ball jokes.
Well, look, like, Guru Pitka is having dinner with Jessica Alba, who is very much into this man.
Who wouldn't?
For some reason. Because, yeah, sure, we would all be horny for
Well, see, this is where the right-wing love guru, this is where it would make more sense.
Women want him, men want him too. But they're sitting down for dinner, and, Jane moves in moves in for a kiss, and then ding goes off, because, as previously mentioned, and this is again from the wiki, I cannot stress that enough, this is from the official loveguru.wikia.com. When he gets aroused, the head of his penis hits the chastity belt and makes a ding sound. Quote, he mostly gets aroused by Jane. He thinks she's a nice, intelligent girl with bedroom eyes, pouty lips, a great rack, and a tight chick tack. Thicker than a sticker. Again, that's a quote from the Love Guru.
So yeah, we get this dinner scene, a lot of double entendres. And then the Love Guru, for some reason, decides to take a shortcut. That's never really explained to enlightenment for the black guy from 40-year-old version. That's just when I stopped kind of taking notes because I was just so confused. But I have Celine Dion is here, I guess. But it turns out it was not Celine Dion.
Yeah, it was a distraction to distract Jacques Lecoq Grand, because he's Canadian, you see. And the easiest way
French
to distract
Canadian.
A Canadian is
French
to bring in Celine Dion.
Yeah, people forget that.
Sure. And this is like at a party for
the
king.
The thing about this movie is that it's loaded with cameos. It's loaded with cameos, but they could not get Celine Dion. And what that tells you is that Celine Dion has more sense than Oprah, Val Kilmer, Jessica Simpson,
and Kanye
Mariska Hargitay.
We'll see later.
And Kanye West! Yeah, Kanye West even shows up in this thing as cameo.
And then, like, they take a shortcut, but then the black guy starts playing better, gets his wife back for some reason, and the Leafs force a game 7.
Sure, all of these problems immediately evaporate, because, you know, this movie is not about having to work hard to fix anything. It's just about, like, okay, yeah, somebody gave me a bunch of really trite bullcrap, and that fixed my whole life.
So anyway, they force a game 7, Lecoq invites a black guy from 40 Old Virgin's mom to come. He's scared. He runs into the locker room. And then, with just second minutes left, the love guru tells him to stand up to his mom, which included, I think, three words where he said, mom.
Well, the love guru is leaving to go,
yes.
to go be on
he gives
Oprah
up
for the
Oprah.
First time. And he decides to give up Oprah to come back and help, Romany Malco.
And, stand up to his mom, and how does he stand up to his mom, Dan? His mom, back off. And she's okay with it.
And then they made a scene of her raping for some reason.
Did you notice that, Dan, where they left in her laughing for some reason?
Sure. I mean, this movie's really, really funny. So
we're all
I can
fun.
Understand why
we're
she
fun,
had
Megan. Course. Who was the lady? Who was that?
Yeah.
Is that one of the moms from Fresh Prince, or am I just being racist? I can't.
I'm pretty sure you're being racist.
But regardless,
let's see. Is it Megan Good, or is that his? Is that his wife? I don't think she made the top billing.
So yeah, game 7. They
racism.
They bring in the black guy comes back. He scores a goal with seconds left, and then with just seconds left again. He gets fouled. Penalty shot time. Lecoq says something in his ear, I think, about how his wife thought his dick was big. Essentially, that's what it was. So how does Michael Myers solve this? He gets two elephants to... Well,
there's a two-part to this plan. The first part is he tells Vern Troyer to stall, and then, quote, Vern Troyer's character says, I told myself I'd never do this, so already you're being set up for, wait, what? That's a non sequitur. And then, bang! The thing he told himself he'd never do, he goes, I'm having a heart attack! And then, like, just pops over. And they, obviously, everyone has to stop everything they're doing in the middle of this hockey game to help the little person with the heart condition.
So, while they're helping him, Michael Myers sneaks two elephants, because they just happen to be off. I think they did actually tell you why the other elephant was there as some sort of sideshow.
Well, Guru Pitka travels on an elephant.
Like all
everywhere. And then there's another elephant in the arena for the circus, which is going to start the day after.
So that's
how they set that.
So our climactic ending involves...
What I'm saying is it's really well written.
The two elephants fuck, the guy hits the penalty shot, and then we see Kanye West and Michael Myers make a cameo. Michael Myers makes a cameo in his own movie. Big move. Playing off when Kanye West said George Bush doesn't care about black people, it was like 3 or 4 years after... This movie came out or before?
But 2 years.
Long enough
like
for the joke to be. It's like if we made a Tom Fifi joke on this cast. Like that, it's the equivalent of that.
yeah, that's the difference between Twitter and then. Like Twitter has now made it where a joke is like completely fucking worn out within a day and a half.
It really was like
an
hour.
One evening.
I was like, there for it. It was
like if you didn't get those Convifi jokes in. Like, at 5 in the morning when that whole thing started first happening, you were fucked. You didn't get to do any Confucius.
No, and you were just lame, like the Wee Waits dog. And then you just had, like, the Wee Waits dogs guy, and you just had a controversy about it. Then I have the guru gets to fuck Jessica Alba, and we close with a shitty racist cover of the Joker. And that was our movie. And if you don't listening to this, and I don't understand the plot.
Well, I mean, the lesson all along, again, was that he could... The lesson all along is that he could have removed his chastity belt anytime he wanted to. But he didn't.
because he didn't realize, because he didn't think about it. So the lesson, again, all your problems can be easily solved if you just, like, do, like, one weird trick. It's an entire movie built around, like, spam emails your mom forwards.
And that was our movie. So if you're listening to this, you're wondering, this plot doesn't make sense. I didn't, this wasn't very concise. Watch the fucking movie. This was awful. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. No stars. Nothing.
I give it 10 hard-ons pounding up against the chastity belt out of 10. I just thought it was just great.
Yeah, I hated it. I was cursing you, Dan, because at least I watched The Water Boy. I could have done my bad Adam Sandler impression this whole show.
You know what my favorite bit of that movie?
Well, that's from Rain Over Me.
Well, you know what my favorite bit of the Love Guru was? I'm quoting the Love Guru Wikia one more time. It's when he said, "Oh my sheriff, my balls, oh my balls." That's a line in this movie.
During the dinner scene, I believe. Is this even a sports movie, or do we count this as a sports movie?
Sure, it's the most accurate movie about hockey ever made.
This may be the best hockey movie you ever made. You can come at me with your shitty thing with the guys in the glasses. I'm not watching that shit, man. What movie is that? Slapshot. Fuck Slapshot. Fuck
Slapshot.
I'm not watching that.
Yeah. Well, that movie's really inaccurate. That's what I really don't like about it. Like, I want an accurate portrayal of the beautiful game.
Street ice hockey. Really what we saw. Some and-one hockey from What's His Face.
Sure. Hot sauce was definitely involved.
So final thoughts on this movie, Dan.
Whew! I mean, it's definitely the last, it's definitely, if you were gonna have this be like the movie everyone remembered you for, you would definitely be pleased with that. Like, that would definitely be a thing you'd be happy about. I made one of the most famous comedies of all time. And I capped my career off with The Love Guru.
But I'm still getting that sweet, sweet Shrek money. So I guess it can't be that sad. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. And this movie kind of made me, like, want to, like, reevaluate. Like, was Austin Powers any good? Like, is this what Austin Powers was and we were just too stupid to realize it? I think it really was, though. And
Austin Powers, I don't think, was a very good movie. If we watched it now. But also, the thing Austin Powers could benefit from, though, you were spoofing spy movies. This wasn't really spoofing a well-known movie. I guess Gandhi. But it wasn't really spoofing anything, you know? At least with Austin Powers, it's like they had...
Yeah, I think that might be the issue.
You don't have to be as creative with the spy parody like in Austin Powers. And Myers had to be a little more creative here, and he's just not a very creative person.
I think one of the lessons of this is that Mike Myers really only had one movie in him, and that's Wayne's World. Like, Wayne's World is an original thing that he did himself, and he wrote it, and it was actually a good movie. And you know what? Wayne's World 2 is pretty good, okay? It's like a comedy sequel. Wayne's World 2 is all right. And then he did the Austin Powers movies, which, I mean, the first Austin Powers, I haven't watched it in forever.
Excuse me, but at the time, that was a really good... Thelma Hopkins was the name of the mom, and she was on a little show called Family Matters as Rachel.
Okay.
Glad I got that out.
But, like, I think the thing about Austin Powers is he really didn't have to write a plot, because he was just like, oh, let's take a James Bond movie, and then just, like, put jokes in it. Like, he didn't have to, like, come up with things. Like, he didn't have to really be all that creative.
The problem is, if he's going to be creative, it's just really crass. Like, I'm not even sure it's racist. Because I think, like, even to be racist, you have to be a little bit smarter than Michael Myers here. And he's just trying to be, like, crass and offensive, and it's just awful. Like, how many bad fart jokes did we... I hate fart humor to begin with. This movie made me hate it even more.
There's a scene in this movie where Vern Troyer just tells everybody they're stupid except him, and then he punctuates making fun of, like, say, oh, Guru Pika, you're a piece of shit. Oh, you're a piece of shit, black guy. Oh, Jessica Alba, you're shit. And then at the end of it, he just farts. And it's like, yeah, I showed you by farting. And it's like, how is that even, like,
this
what
movie
is
was
that?
Essentially a guy doing a bad operative impression and farting for an hour and 30 minutes.
And then forcing us to watch things have sex.
A lot of animal sex. A lot of bestiality, I guess. You will.
Well, it's not bestiality. There wasn't a human involved. It's just like, that's just, okay. You're saying there's some
I just wonder if there's some deleted scenes.
There's some furry.
I want to check the deleted scene.
I hear the Mr. Hands video happen, like, in a deleted scene of this
movie. And that's just what I heard.
But yeah, my final thoughts on this movie, I'm just glad this ruined Michael Myers' career. Because if this was a success, then America would have, like, gone down way faster than it has now. Like, this country, if that movie made $100 million, then, like, this country would be burning right now. We would be listening to a podcast, we'd be running from wolves. Fuck the Love Guru.
Yeah, we were so close to being, yeah. I mean, we were so close to, like, crawling out of the hell pit of American society, and then, like, Hillary Clinton just kicked us right back in.
So, yeah.
So sad.
And I think that caps off the Love Guru. But we will continue our summer movie series, Dan. And, do we want to decide? Do we want to do this next week? Or do we want to hold off? What are you thinking about here?
I think we should let it be a surprise. We'll let it be a surprise.
So, once the finals get over.
Follow us on Twitter for the answers.
Once the finals get over, we will review another movie.
I mean, this movie just made me destroy my entire film collection, you know, in a horrified, you know,
I shot
frenzy. Elvis. I'm literally Elvis.
So yeah, that's the start. That was the kickoff of our summer movie season. Fuck that. Before we kind of get in, recording this on Thursday night, the finals are at halftime right now, Dan. The current score, Golden State 60, Cleveland 52. Any thoughts, like, before we, you know, kind of preview what we think might happen in this series? I've got who I know will win.
LeBron's got him right where he wants him. The greatest NBA player of all time has got him right where he wants
him. I'm excited for this series. Everybody keeps picking, you know, Cavs or Warriors and seven. I think the fans win in seven. I think we get a fun series. How about that? The fans, that's who I picked to win. Us. The people. We win.
The NBA, it's
fantastic. The NBA universe wins. Well,
there's going to be smiles on people's faces.
But yeah, before we get out here, a little housekeeping really quick. I want to go ahead and announce we have everyone lined up for our big college football preview. We have how many special guests are we going to have come on here in late July, early August, Dan?
Oh, it's going to be the summer of guests. We have our official Texas correspondent will be tuning in to give us the Big 12 preview. We have, last year, if you tuned in when we debuted this podcast and we did our first reviews, we have all your favorites coming back. We have Mr. ACC. We've got Big Ten. We've got the Pac-12. Every conference will be covered.
This year.
And we'll be debuting a new SEC expert as well.
We have the guy's official name. We'll just call him Cheese for now. LSU Cheese. Louisiana Cheese, if you will. And he'll come on and be our SEC expert. So me and him will be breaking down the SEC, obviously. So we don't have to hear Dan's his Yankee propaganda. Some real football fans.
Yeah.
So that's...